State ascoltando SBS Italian. State ascoltando un podcast di SBS Italian. Io sono Magica Fossati e la nostra ospite è Anna Welsh, Senior Librarian of History of the Book and Arts, che ci presenta una mostra attualmente in corso alla State Library of Victoria, nel centro di Melbourne. Si intitola Dante 700 e doveva essere originariamente inaugurata nel 2021 per l'anniversario della morte di Dante Alighieri, ma a causa della pandemia è stata solo recentemente aperta al pubblico. Anna Welsh ci racconta in inglese quali sono i libri e le opere esposti alla State Library of Victoria.
At last, here at the State Library of Victoria to record an interview about a beautiful exhibition that is dedicated to Dante Alighieri and the Divina Commedia. We'd already recorded this interview, I can let you know this, but unfortunately the exhibition had to be put off, and Anna Walsh, who's the curator today, is here with me to let me show you through audio what's on show at the moment. Grazie mille.
Prego.
So it's exciting, I guess, for you at last to be able to see the public coming through these sale, as we say in Italian. Can you tell us a little bit about what we have here on show?
Absolutely. And yes, it's very, very exciting to have people coming through the gallery at last. So what we've selected for display is highlights really of our rare books collection relating to Dante from our earliest edition, which is published in 1506 in Florence, through to the work of contemporary Australian artists created in the last decades, as a way of exploring not only the power of Dante's words, of course, but the inspiration he's given to artists over the centuries, from his own day through to the present.
And this part of the exhibition is called Dante 700. Mm-hmm. We're jokingly saying before you'd like to change that.
I need to get up there with a big crayon and write 701. We had curated this display to open during 2021 for the year of Dante, commemorating the 700th anniversary of his death in 1321. But of course, like so many other things, it's been pushed back to run the whole of 2022. So it'll be here till February in 2023, in fact. So everyone has a good period of time now to come and explore the exhibition, which is free, of course. That's also important.
Which is fantastic. Right in the middle of Melbourne, by the way. Can you show me a little bit, and maybe you can give a taste to people who are listening to the radio of what they can see here.
Yeah. So we actually start the display with an edition of Virgil's great poem, the Aeneid. And of course, people who love Dante and the Divine Comedy will know that Virgil is Dante's guide through the underworld and purgatory, and of course was his role model as a poet. And this edition of Virgil's poem, the Aeneid, is from 1519, and it's got some very famous, very beautiful woodcut images that show Aeneas's journey through the underworld and the rest of the story of his explorations, his journeys, which are very famous. They were created, first of all, for an edition published in 1502 in Strasbourg, and then they were reused over and over again, the same woodblocks, for many different editions of the book. And then others, like this set, were made sort of copying those original blocks. And they're really detailed, intricate woodcuts. I mean, they're from the same period as the wood engravings and the beautiful etchings of Albrecht Dürer. So I guess if people can picture that kind of really fine line work, they're black and white images. They could be hand coloured. That's another appealing part about woodcut prints, that there's that potential there, but this particular copy, that hasn't happened. So we still have that really stark graphic quality of the black and white images of Aeneas on his journey. And then next to it, we have what is our oldest edition of the poem, and it's a tiny little copy published in Florence in 1506. And that's significant as, of course, Florence is the city from which Dante himself was exiled, which was part of the inspiration for beginning this work, with its famous opening lines about finding oneself in the middle of life and losing one's way in a dark forest, that sense of loss and dislocation that start the poem reflect his own experience as someone who, for political reasons, was exiled from his beloved hometown, his birthplace of Florence. So this edition coming from that city makes it quite special. And
can I ask you, is this from the State Library of Victoria's collection?
Yes, that's right. Everything you see here is from the library's own collection, with the exception at the end we'll get to some of the very recent contemporary works created by Alex Selinich, who's a Melbournian, which he has very kindly lent to us for the display. But yeah, we're so lucky to have works like this in the collection. And next to it, we have another beautiful edition, which is from 1529, which also has a very famous series of woodcut illustrations. We have it open to Paradiso. It's one of those curious things about the poem that Inferno, the first section, has attracted the most illustration. And I guess because the punishments described there are so visceral and fascinating that they make really good subjects for drawings. But fewer people have concentrated on illustrating Purgatorio and Paradiso. So we thought it's a nice opportunity actually to show some of the imagery from those other parts of the poem that is less famous, less well known to people today. So that's what we see here. We have Dante rising up into the celestial realm with his guide who takes him through that part, who is, of course, Beatrice, his lost sort of idealized love, who was a real person in his life in Florence and who is recreated as a literary guide for him, who takes over when Virgil can't go to heaven as he's not a Christian.
Maybe some of the listeners will be asking themselves when these beautiful artifacts were acquired by the National Gallery of Victoria.
The State Library, yes. Okay.
State Library of Victoria.
No, that's actually a good kind of point to make, that this institution used to house both the gallery and the library. And there was a period where both institutions could draw on the same funding to acquire, for the gallery, acquire works of art. And sometimes the library was able to argue that a book was also a work of art and could acquire things using those funds. But these works here have been in the collection for a long time. They probably, we would have their records. I could look up their records. We haven't got that information here on the exhibition text. But a lot of this kind of material came to the library between the two world wars. And that was partly because at that time, the Australian economy was very strong, stronger than economies in Europe. And also because at that point, lots of collections had been dispersed by war and were being sold off. And so a lot of material moved around in those periods. The same thing happened in the 19th century after the suppression of the monasteries and the various political upheavals in Italy and elsewhere in Europe at that time. So, you know, one effect of that kind of turmoil is that collections move around. And so a lot of European material came to Australia in that part of the 20th century.
I have to say, as an Italian, it's very special to see these here in Melbourne and to be able to see these amazing books.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? This is, by the way, you were quoting before Dante in English.
The opening lines.
Exactly. We've got the opening lines at the very beginning of the exhibition. So here we've got other beautiful books. Mm. What are they?
So we wanted to explore some of the sort of history of the illustration of the poem. I mean, when it first circulated in manuscript form, there are some very beautiful illuminated manuscript copies of it from the 14th century and then into the 15th. But the first artist who created a cycle of illustrations for the poem was Sandro Botticelli, another great artist of the period. So unfortunately, of course, we don't have any originals of Botticelli's, either his drawings or the prints that were created from them. But we have two beautiful facsimile editions that are based on his drawings. So we have those on display along with a life of Dante that was written by Boccaccio. So it kind of sets Dante within his context of his reception during the Renaissance in Italy, but particularly in Florence, this pride in his creation in the comedy, but his other work as well, which was, of course, a big turnaround from his fate in his lifetime, where he was exiled and died in exile, died in Ravenna, and is still there. But, of course, those who know Florence well will know there's a wonderful tomb to Dante in Santa Croce, the Franciscan church, but he's not there. He's still in Ravenna. So, yeah, so we have some of these works exploring the visual tradition of illustrating Dante. And we move forward in the next section to look at some of the very famous examples of the uptake of interest in Dante's poem outside Italy. After the Enlightenment, it kind of, interest in the poem died off a bit in parts of Europe. It was seen as a sort of superstitious, medieval, backwards kind of text. But with the interest in the poem by people like John Flaxman, whose work you see here, and then next to him, his now more famous successor, William Blake, and others like Gustave Doré, whose beautiful wood engravings we have here, they helped inspire a greater interest in the poem in the post-Enlightenment world in the 19th century and into the 20th. So we were very fortunate to be able to borrow a print from the series of William Blake's illustrations for the poem. Some of your listeners may be familiar with the fact that at the National Gallery of Victoria here in Melbourne, we have one of the world's great collection of Blake watercolours, which he created to illustrate the Divine Comedy. And he did that with a view to turning them into prints to be published in an edition of the poem. But he died before he could complete that transition into print. He'd only managed to engrave 7 plates before he passed away. And so those plates were published in straight after his death. And once or twice over the intervening century, there've been editions of prints taken from those plates. And the NGV is very fortunate to have 2 sets of those engravings, and they've loaned us one for this display here. And it's, you know, it gives you a real sense of what it was about Dante's poem and his language that inspired artists to engage with it. And Blake, like a number of the others of artists in this display, taught himself Italian in order to be able to read the poem in its original and respond to it in his own visual language. And what we see here is it's Agnello De Brunelleschi being transformed into a serpent. He's in the circle of hell that punishes thieves. And you really get a sense from this engraving of just how painful and sort of dislocating that experience of transformation is, and the horror of those who are watching.
I guess, as you were saying before, Inferno offered a lot more in terms of imagination and
absolutely
drama, I guess.
Exactly, that's it. There's more drama there. And then when you get into Purgatorio, things become less sort of violent and horrifying and more hopeful. And the further you go into the poem, the kind of more pleasurable the imagery becomes, and that seems to inspire less in artists, which is an interesting statement about what we love. We love a bit of drama. I mean, everybody loves true crime these days. Like, we like the sort of dark side. So Blake is certainly a very famous example of an artist inspired by the poem. And I really love Gustave Doré's wood engravings, and it is nice to be able to see the different impact of a different print technique on the imagery. So Blake is engraving on a copper plate, and you get that sort of very clean, really clean lines. Doré is using wood engraving, so he's able to create these really dark textural qualities to his print. There's a real atmospheric kind of smokiness about the imagery, which is very appropriate for Inferno particularly. And he's really great at picking up on those moments in the poem where we see that famous device Dante uses, contrapasso, where the punishment fits the crime or comments on the crime. And one of the pages we have open in this display is the scene where Dante and Virgil are looking at what appear to be just a whole lot of feet sticking up out of the ground, and the feet are on fire and there's smoke coming out and around, which is kind of a bizarre image. But when you know what's happening in this part of the poem, you see the full kind of impact and the sort of dark humour in a way of what Dante's done there, because these are people who are in hell being punished for simony, which is the sin of making profit out of spiritual things. And what Dante has done is create a punishment that's an inversion of the sacrament of baptism. So instead of having your head immersed in holy water and being, you know, reborn as a Christian, these people are buried head first in a burning pit and their feet are on fire. So it's the exact opposite of what happens to you in baptism, because that's what their behaviour has warranted, eternal damnation. And I think Doré really captures the horror but also the humour of that scene, which perhaps makes me sound a little cruel, but
absolutely. Look, we can already tell from what you're saying that Dante Alighieri's fame transcended Italian literature and Italian history, and he kind of struck the imagination of many authors around the world and artists. Mm. What about Dante's impact in Australia?
That's a real strength of what we hold here in the collection, and what we wanted to show this time was artists both of Italian heritage but also from other European heritages responding to and being inspired by Dante. And one artist, if we go around this side, that is particularly interesting in this regard is Alex Selinich, who I mentioned earlier. So Alex has very kindly loaned us 7 watercolour drawings, as well as an altered book and a sculptural work, all of which relate to Purgatorio, so the central section of the poem where Dante and Virgil, having emerged from the icy depths of hell, begin to climb up Mount Purgatory to its summit. And Purgatory is that place where people go to work off sins that are forgivable. So unlike the ones in hell, they can be forgiven, but there's some labour involved. They need to be penitent. So Alex seized on purgatory as a particularly Australian theme, because in the medieval understanding of the geography of heaven and hell, in which there was enormous interest in plotting exactly where are these locations, the belief was that purgatory, well, hell was a pit beneath Jerusalem, the holy city, and Mount Purgatory was on the opposite side of the world from Jerusalem, which makes it in the Antipodes, so somewhere perhaps in Australia. And Alex really seized on that idea that purgatory has a particularly Australian context, and also that, you know, Australia is a country that has huge numbers of immigrants from all over the world, and that sense of dislocation, of being, you know, in a place that's unfamiliar, working towards a goal, these are all things that can resonate with people who have immigrated to a new country like Australia. So I think he's, you know, his own sort of pulled on his own European heritage in that way to respond to the poem. So we have these beautiful watercolour drawings which depict different sins within Mount Purgatory. And then they relate to this wonderful sculpture, which shows you a sort of, it's called Half Mountain Cast. So it's a, what's the word I want? It's a
section.
That's right. Thank you. It's a section of Mount Purgatory, so that you can see into its workings. And it does relate directly to some 15th century images of purgatory and the rings of hell as well. So he's drawing on a really long tradition of the imagery around these features. And then we have also 2 altered books that in which Alex has drilled through the Southern Cross through a copy of Dante, a penguin copy of the Divine Comedy, and a blank notebook, which is paired as a sort of, you know, inviting a new text, as I guess in response to Dante, and situating it all within the Southern Hemisphere. And we also have in this display case here the works of 2 other Australian artists who have responded to Dante, and they are Angela Cavalieri and Peter Lisciottis, and together they have made an artist's book which is called 1316, and it comes in 3 volumes. There's Inferno, Purgatorio and Paradiso, and we've only had space to display 2. So we did actually choose to focus on, to include Paradiso, because as I said earlier, it is one of the less illustrated parts of the poem. We thought actually it's really a great chance to show people that that too has inspired people, and to get a sense of the different elemental factors within the poem that artists respond to. So hell, they've envisaged some of the fiery dimensions of hell, the dark and smoky atmosphere, whereas paradise is a celestial realm of golden light, that is, you know, the light of divinity. So they're responding very much to those different textual and elemental aspects of the environment of the poem. So I think, you know, there's a really strong showing here of some of our leading Australian, but particularly Melbournean artists who are interested in Dante. There are many others. We have a work by Bruno Leti there I skipped over, but others, you know, in the collection as well that we haven't been able to show at all. But I think that's a reason why it's so important for this library to have this exhibition and be able to open up these treasures from the Rare Books collection to everybody to come and appreciate, you know, the depth of the depth of significance of Italian cultural heritage here in Victoria and within our state collection.
Thank you so much for this very short guided tour, which is fantastic to listen to. And I'm sure many people will come to see it in person. But we should also remember that this is part of a bigger exhibition that is currently here. What else could they see here at the State Library of Victoria?
Well, it's thank you for reminding us. I could get lost in just in Dante. But yes, the World of the Book exhibition has over 300 works on display. It's everything from our oldest collection item, which is a 4,000-year-old cuneiform clay tablet, through to contemporary works by artists such as some of those that we've seen here. So there's a whole lot of different themes on display, different stories. We have medieval manuscripts with wonderful marginalia. We've got a beautiful collected edition of the works of Jane Austen in a carrying case. We've got a focus on Sean Tan, the illustrator and filmmaker who won an Oscar for his work on The Lost Thing, including a beautiful sculpture that he donated to us that's part of his artistic archive. We have some wonderful works by Elizabeth Gould, the natural historian and artist who worked with her husband on some really important texts in 19th century natural history illustration, and many more. It's an exhibition that really celebrates our humankind's love of the book, of stories, and the beauty of the book. And so I think there's something here that for everyone.
And for every bookworm, as they say. Yeah. Is there something in this part of the exhibition dedicated to Dante that we haven't seen and that you particularly like and enjoy showing to the visitors?
Yes, I'd love to mention this wonderful new acquisition, which we were able to purchase, especially in order to include it in this display. This is the work known as Inferno, and it's by Tom Phillips, the British artist. So Tom Phillips is still a current artist. He's of the same generation as David Hockney, so he's been active since the 60s. He's very well known for his work, particularly using different forms of collage, painting over text to bring new stories through. But he's an incredible printmaker working across lots of different techniques. And he has had a long obsession with Dante. And like others that we've mentioned, he learned Italian in order to be able to read the poem. He also then decided to translate it himself, which is no small undertaking. And he created this beautiful artist book of Inferno with text and image. And it's been called the most significant artist's book of the 20th century. And so it's a really exciting recent addition to our collection, which we were able to purchase with the support of Margot Costanzo and Chris Arnold, her husband. So we're very grateful to them as donors and supporters of the collection. Margot, a great aficionado of Dante, was really keen to see this display come to light. So what we've chosen is a selection of some of the most striking prints from the series that are included in this book. And yeah, this is a real highlight. We hope people will come and enjoy this work seen on display for the first time in Melbourne.
Can you just remind us of until when this exhibition is open?
Yes, so the exhibition is open right now and it's every day from 10 to 5. It's free and it will be open until the 19th of February 2023. So you've got a bit of time, but don't miss it.
Thank you so much, Anna Walsh.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
In bocca al lupo.
Grazie mille.
Cliccate mi piace, condividete, commentate, seguite SBS Italian su Facebook.